Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2136, with the release date of Friday, October 5th, 2018, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Ham's rally amid Indonesia's devastation. A superstation in Montenegro makes a comeback, and the Pennsylvania CUSO party gets a new team. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report 2136 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jim Dameron, NATMW.
In our top story this week, amateurs have once again used their radios to help in a catastrophe. In this case, the devastated Indonesian landscape. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, has those details.
A series of earthquakes and a tsunami have left more than 1,500 people dead and countless more injured in the central Sulawesi province of Indonesia, where amateur radio operators were activated immediately to assist with disaster communications. A report from Danny Hallam, YB2TJV, the IARU's new Region 3 Disaster Communications Coordinator, said that the 7.7 magnitude quake, September 28, cut off utilities including power and communications. Emergency operations were established about 700 kilometres or 434 miles from the quake's epicentre at the Luwak Disaster Management Agency. Indonesia's National Radio Society, ARARI, began an emergency net on 7.110 MHz to gather details about landslides and other dangerous conditions. ARARI has also activated a satellite for backup use, much the same as it did during the earthquake that struck in August in Lombok. A second net was set up on 7.065 MHz because of excessive QRM on the first frequency. Communications were established early with two mobile stations in Palu, Sutrisno YB8NT and Ronnie YB8PR. Atank YD8MII and Buddy were also operating on the emergency net, gathering details about landslides. The earthquake was followed by a tsunami, and some videos posted on social media showed waves as high as 6 metres or nearly 20 feet striking one beach where festival preparations were being made. Everything was swept away. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Participants in the Pennsylvania CUSO party will hit the ham bands the weekend of October 13th and 14th, but the future of the Pennsylvania party was in doubt after its longtime sponsoring organization decided to give it up. Amateur Radio Newsline's Mark Abramovich, NT3V, has the story.
For more than 50 years, the Nittany Amateur Radio Club sponsored the Pennsylvania CUSO party, which has become one of the most popular state parties just behind the California CUSO party. For the past 13 years, the intrepid Michael Coslow, N3LI, was chairman of the event. But word emerged at the beginning of the year that the Nittany Group and Coslow were giving it up and looking for someone to take over. Anthony Good, K3NG, is vice president of a group of longtime PA party participants who didn't want to see the event disappear.
We basically formed a group called the Pennsylvania CUSO Party Association, about six of us who are enthusiasts that have been participating for years in the party, and basically offered up our group to take over management of it, and the Nittany Amateur Radio Club graciously awarded us management of the party and decided this was the right thing to do. The party's been going on for over 60 years now, and we certainly didn't want to, you know, see it die.
Good says the group's decision has been well received, and as to this year's multi-op bonus station, Good says it was an easy choice.
The bonus station for this year is going to be M3LI operating from Center County, honoring Mike and all the work that he's done over the years.
And of course, Good says the PA party isn't changing one important element.
We all recognize we don't want to change the character of the party. I mean, we still want to keep it the same type of party. We call it the Friendly CUSO Party. It seems to appeal to both casual operators and, you know, hardcore contest operators. We want to keep that, you know, same vibe going forward.
Good says the PA CUSO Party Association isn't making any substantive changes to this year's rules either, but he projects there will be some advances for next year's party.
We certainly, you know, want to keep that momentum going. I think we want to support the tradition of the Pennsylvania CUSO Party, but also you know, try some new things. Undoubtedly, you know, like FT8 right now is all the rage in amateur radio. I think right now where FT8 stands, at least the mainstream mode, doesn't support the exchange that we have in the PAQ so party serial number. It'll probably support that next year. There's also been talk of eliminating the serial number, so little things like that. You know, I expect, you know, we'll probably see an influx of FT8 next year and have it grow.
Good says the PAQSO party has been seeing a steady rise in the number of entries. He says the new association is looking for input from participants, too.
We're always looking to create new awards. We've always had pride in both our in-state awards and our out-of-state awards. We always want out-of-state participation, and I'd like to see us grow out, you know, out-of-state participation even more than what it is today.
To learn more about the PA Party, go to its new website, paqso.org. That's paqso.org. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mark Abramovich, NT3V in Philadelphia.
Hams in the U.S. couldn't be happier to have their favorite TV ham, Mike Baxter, KA0XTT, back on the air. Now they have another reason to celebrate, as we hear from Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
If you are a fan of American TV, you probably already know that the situation comedy Last Man Standing is now Proud Man Standing Tall in the ratings. The show features Tim Allen, KK60TD, as ham radio operator Mike Baxter, KA0XTT, and viewers report that his signal is 10 over. Variety newspaper writes that the show made its debut on the Fox network on Friday, September 28th, with an average of 1.8 rating for viewers between the ages of 18 and 49, beating its season on ABC, the network that originally carried the show before canceling it. Variety also reports that Last Man Standing was the network's top-rated show for that night and the most-watched comedy on Fox in nearly 7 years. The show is popular in its amateur radio community thanks to its protagonist being a ham himself, and it so inspired actor Tim Allen that he decided to make things real by getting his ticket in 2014. For many hams, however, the show begins well before the TV is on. The crew operates amateur radio station KA6LMS during meal breaks on production days. The set itself features QSL cards from fans, maybe even some of you listening now. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
8 members of a CubeSat development team in India are preparing for their project's big launch, as Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, tells us.
November promises to be a big month for the 8 members of the development team in Hyderabad, India, who built an Exceedsat CubeSat. The 10-centimeter satellite, which carries an APRS digipeater and an amateur radio FM transponder for voice communication, is to be sent into space by the US-based SpaceX company. The satellite is expected to be on a polar orbit, giving it 2 daily passes over India. Its beacon will be transmitting on 145.900 MHz FM using a TV tuner and a USB dongle. Gurudat Panda, VU3GDP, one of the development team members, gave the details recently to the Hindu newspaper, noting that the satellite will be especially useful for radio amateurs during natural calamities when communications get disrupted. An 8-member team worked on the design and construction at Exceed Space Private Limited, which was co-founded by communications engineer Ashar Farhan, VU2ESE. Exceed Space notes on its website that it is in the process of setting up the first contract satellite building facility in India with a focus on nanosats, CubeSats and microsats. Gurudat is especially aware of the need for communications during weather events and other emergencies. He assisted with radio operations in 2013 when a cyclone hit India's Ganjam district. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the K8SCH repeater in Cincinnati, Ohio, at 9 p.m. local time on Wednesdays. Even before the results were in for the CQ Worldwide Riddy Contest held the weekend of September 29th and 30th, the 403A Superstation of Ronco Boca in Montenegro felt like a winner. Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, tells us why.
A massive fire on the Lustica Peninsula in southwestern Montenegro in July of last year kept the 403A Superstation out of the running for the 2017 CQ Worldwide RTTY Contest. Disaster struck the station after two successful previous years in which operators placed second and third. This year, however, the station made a glorious comeback as operators entered their first major contest from the station since that fire. In the shack for the 48-hour marathon weekend were youngsters who were part of the youth contest program. Dan Quigley, N7HQ, technical rep for 403A in America, told Newsline in an email that the weekend QSOs were accomplished under marginal band conditions. The youngsters who gave it all were Florian, PB8DX from the Netherlands, Matteo, IU2GGL from Italy, and two young hams from Serbia, Janko, YU3EEA, and Lubomir, YU5EEA. They were assisted by a crew of seasoned operators, Ranko Boca, along with Milan YU1ZZ, Lasso YU1JW, Isadora 402ISD, and Marco 409TTT. The station is considered one of Europe's top contesters, and win or lose, the station has clearly got its momentum back. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
Years of hard work planning an important Canadian special event station has won two hams special recognition, as we hear from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Radio Amateurs of Canada, RAC, has honoured two hams for their work on the VE100 VIMY, V-I-M-Y, special event project in 2017, which featured the participation of amateurs throughout Canada and a special event station, TM100 VIMY, at Vimy Ridge in France. According to the RAC website, the special event required 6 years of planning, and the award recipients Don Studney, VE7DS, and Keith Whitney, VE7KW, were key to its success. Don was the team leader and Keith was deputy team leader and chief engineer of the Vimy Commemorative Station Society. The pair were presented with the RAC Amateur of the Year Award on September the 11th during the monthly meeting of the Orca DX and Contest Club in British Columbia. According to the RAC website, quote, "Together, Don and Keith made the project happen, a project that involved more than 40,000 amateurs around the world," unquote. The duo took special care in preparing the VE100 Vimy station at Vimy itself in April of 2017. They helped create a shack where a number of operators would work, including two from France, Didier Cadeau, F6BCW, and Serge Mazza, F6IPT. The QSOs had actually begun earlier, on January the 1st, operation of VE100 Vimy stroke VE1 and VE100 Vimy stroke VY2 had already been completed. By the end of March, all 13 Canadian call areas had experienced a one-week activation in the event, completing more than 38,000 QSOs with six continents and more than 125 countries. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Radio scouts never rest, and with Jamboree on the air coming, there's still work to be done, as Bill Stearns, NE4RD, tells us.
This week in Radio Scouting, we're 3 weeks away from Jamboree on the air, and registrations are coming in strong. We have one more reservation for the K2BSA call sign for JOTA weekend, and quite a few announcements of JOTA activity on our Scout Camps on the Air site for the weekend of October 19th through the 21st. Philip Housel, KC7SVI, will be activating K2BSA Portable 7 from VFW Post 4992 in Bremerton, Washington. Troop 1539 will be operating both JOTA and JODY. A special thanks to the Kitsap County Amateur Radio Club for the use of radio equipment and club members who will be helping make this event a success. Our SCOTA US stations for JOTA are as follows. KD8AVN will be active from the House Reservation in Medina, Ohio. Troop 501 anticipates operating 2 to 3 transmitters focusing on HF and holding radio merit badge sessions. Troop 501 is a troop of around 60 boys from Northeast Ohio. They have 4 licensed youth and 2 licensed assistant scoutmasters that will be joined by the Medina 2-meter club and a local Weeblos for this event. W1M will be active from Moses Scout Reservation in Russell, Massachusetts. They will be using a Yaesu FT-897 and a wire dipole for 40 meters for their activation. A special QSL card will be available for this event with a SAISI. KN4MDJ will be active from Camp La Noche in Paisley, Florida. Cub Scout Halloween 2018 Cubberie will be in full effect for the JOTA weekend. They expect 600 to 1,000 Cub Scouts to attend and will try to get most on the air. At least 3 ham groups will be setting up, covering all the ham bands from 160 meters to 13 centimeters and EchoLink. Their goal is to have the most scouts for JOTA in 1 location for the state. K2SRF will be active from Babcock Hovey in Ovid, New York. The Challenge Trophy Camperee has over 1,800 scouts registered for over 200 stations. Hams will be demonstrating what they love best about ham radio, all bands, all modes. Let's make this the most active JOTA ever. Get your station registered at jota2018.k2bsa.net. For more information on JOTA or radio scouting, please visit our website at k2bsa.net. For Amateur Radio Newsline and the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, this is Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
Finally, we close this week by introducing you to the Bergmann family of Germany. As we hear from Ed Durant, DD5LP, their daughter, a new ham, had some plans this year for their family vacation.
When most youngsters ask their parents for a dream come true vacation, more often than not it's to Disney World or some other attraction with amusements, fun rides and lots of junk food. 11-year-old Laura Bergmann, DL2JJ, of Dreieich, Germany, had a different idea. Upon passing her licensing exam, she informed her father and mother she wanted to go to the St. Makuf Islands. Her dream was a de-expedition with Emil, DL8JJ, her father, and Virgie, DL9JJ, her mother. Packing up 500 kilograms, or 1,100 pounds of equipment, that included a Honda generator and fuel, 2 antennas and their rigs, the family loaded up their small car and headed to the islands off the coast of Normandy, France. They even slept 2 nights in the vehicle until they arrived. The Bergmanns spent about 44 hours on the island, completing 1,340 QSOs, 54 of them with DXCCs. They operated on 80 metres through 17 metres, pretty much around the clock. Whatever time they spent in their sleeping bags was minimal, and they spent it dreaming of the next day's contacts they'd make on SSB, CW or FT8. Always the proud father, Emil told Newsline that he and his wife had activated the island together in 2015 while Laura was in school, but he said, now was the real moment. He said, this was a real day expedition, not just a vacation. It was indeed a dream come true, and Laura Bergmann can now say that the family that goes rock climbing together and travels together also day expeditions together. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
With thanks to Allen Labs, Amateur News Weekly, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, Dan Quigley, N7HQ, XSEED Website, Ureo Newsletter, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, The Hindu Newspaper, IARU Region 1, Irish Radio Transmitters Society, K2BSA, Ohio PennDX Bulletin, Radio Amateurs of Canada, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, Variety, Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2018, all rights reserved.